May that God, the immortal, the invisible, and the always loving one, be with us and strengthen us in him today and always. Amen. We are in a teaching series where we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer Christians across the globe all know. In fact, most of us probably know it by heart. But as we study it, we want to look deeply into each phrase, into those ideas, because it's one thing to memorize something. It's another thing that when we pray it, we really mean it. Do we mean and understand what we're saying? And Lutheran Christians have a tradition, a very old tradition, in our teaching where we use this phrase all the time. What does this mean? So we're going to take that idea and really break up the Lord's Prayer and look at it. And today we're at the second part of it. We're looking after Our Father, that a reminder for us of our identity. We're looking now at the phrase, who art in heaven, as we pray that together. Just a tiny reminder for us as we go backwards a little bit of the idea that this is Jesus teaching us not just a prayer, but how to pray. His disciples had asked, Lord, teach us to pray. So he's giving really a model for prayer, that I want you to make sure that your prayers include these concepts of forgiveness, depending on God for your daily needs, and so forth and so on. And that's what we'll dig in and look more at. And last week in particular, we focused in on the idea of our identity and who God is. Not just praying to the God of the universe, not just praying to a God who's sort of hidden in majesty and glory, but Jesus opened our eyes and our hearts to realize God wants us to know him as Father, to trust him as a loving provider and protector and one who is looking out for us. And that's and part of the image of that was from the Old Testament. He looked at a scripture like God lifts a child up to the cheek to quiet them. So the Heavenly Father loves us. Well, we're going to look at this idea now of who art in heaven. And one of the first things I hope you notice, as I was trying to say with the kids, is that God has a higher perspective than you and I have. He can see things that we can't see. And part of that seeing, part of that knowing, then is a great advantage to us if we use it. When you're in a maze, I don't know if you've ever done a cornfield maze or done some other kind of maze or labyrinth sort of pattern. Part of the idea is the confusion that you can't see. Is this going to the right help me? Going to the left help me and get me out of here? We just literally cannot see where we are. But God can see. And he reminds us in that Old Testament reading that we heard that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. In fact, his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God has a perspective on the problems that are there in your life that you and I don't have. And God is kind of in the business of solving problems. People facing the Red Sea and no way to get across. People losing a spouse. People trying to enter into a promised land, yet there is a walled city with walls 20 feet thick. How do we handle that? Well, God, in his higher way, in his higher perspective, says, here, I'll show you the solution. At times, from his higher way and his higher perspective, he says, we're not going to solve this problem, but together I'm going to give you grace, and I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to help you through this problem. And there's going to be a reason that maybe you and I can't see in our limited perspective right now, but we trust that he can. And that's a big part of what he's offering to us, that his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. Secondly, I think it's worth noting for us that God is not in this world. Jesus came to be in the world, but not of the world, right? He was born in that special incarnational way. But God is above the corruption of this world. God's there where not only is there no pollution in the air, but also there is no pollution in his heart or in his thinking. There's no self-centeredness in God. There is always love. There's always purity. There is always holiness. And so God doesn't get turned around by situations that we find befuddling. God doesn't get tripped up by temptation and is able, to navigate all of the difficult situations. God can handle it, because he is pure and holy and pure love. That's why, you know, that invitation for us to live in his love and to know that love, where one day we will see him face to face and know him fully, even as we are fully known. That's a great promise of heaven. But what we can hold on to is that we have a Father who is guiding us and providing for us and loves us, and he has a pure heart. He's working in our lives from pure motivation. I love how Jesus puts that in the gospel lesson. He's talking and he says, then if you who are evil, he gave those examples of a father, a parent getting asked for bread or getting asked for an egg, and what would they give to their child? And he says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? He's got a pure heart. And his very nature is to give. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Romans 8 tells us that along with him, he graciously gives us all things for this body and life. And he gives out of that purity, out of that love, out of that strength. And that pure thought, we can trust. You know what? He's got this figured out. He's got me in the palm of his hand. And it's going to work out just fine. A third thing that we can pull from our readings today, and a great reminder for us from this prayer, is that when we say, Our Father who art in heaven, he has power. He has power. He's a power greater than ourselves. You and I have such limits to our power, right? We might be able to go 2 days. I've occasionally, when under really needed circumstances, I remember once going 70 hours without sleep. But I couldn't even make it to 72. And even soldiers on the battlefield have to sneak in an hour or two or three to keep functioning. We're so limited in our power. We can maybe lift what, you know? We might be able to lift 50, 100 pounds. We might be able to, you know, a leg press. We might be able to get 250 pounds. But God is able to carry the weight of the entire world, every woman, man, and child, and all of their needs. And he has power. And he longs to use it for us. He's using that power because he wants to lift us out of this corrupted world and bring us to be with himself, bring us to be where there is no more suffering or sorrow or tears or death or limitations or pain. He offers to bring us to himself. And 1 Peter, our epistle lesson, talks about that. That he, in his great mercy, has given us this new birth into a living hope. And it's described that it's into an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading. I once was given some letters that my grandmother had written. And that was a part of my inheritance, was some of these letters she had written. And it was to her children and grandchildren about her faith and her hopes for us to have faith. It was kind of a cool thing. You know, I didn't become a Christian until I was 21, but I had a grandma who had been praying for me, right? And she had been asking for her Heavenly Father's power to be at work in my life. And the letters were, she had beautiful handwriting, but the letters were really faded. They were really yellow. They're still a really precious thing for me, but in another generation, if I pass them on to my grandkids, I imagine the paper's going to get pretty brittle, and pretty much anything you and I can get in this world is going to have that kind of fading and corrupting character to it, no matter what inheritance it is that's given. And yet God has this inheritance for you and me. Our names written in his book of life. Our Heavenly Father is described with everlasting arms to welcome us, to wipe each tear away from our eyes. And that inheritance, that your spirit literally is kept in heaven with him in Christ already, where it's incorruptible, where it's undefilable, where it is unfading, where the brightness of who you and I are, no matter what age or life does to us, the brightness of who we are is kept in heaven with him. That's what our Heavenly Father does for us. And he has eternity in mind for us, this blessing of forever. Blessing of forever with our loved ones who are already with Jesus. Blessing of forever because that's why Jesus was willing to endure the cross and the pain that was involved there. Because the Father's plans are not like you and I, like, well, maybe I'll watch a game of football tonight, or watch the Texans tomorrow, or maybe I'll go on vacation next week, or maybe I'll have this career, or, you know, maybe we'll do this. God's terms, God's plans are so long-term for all eternity. including you and including all of our loved ones who have gone to be with him before. So when Jesus is teaching us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," he is inviting us to seek. He who has eternity in mind is inviting us to boldly seek. Seek and you will find. Knock and will be open. Or as that man in the story Jesus tells, he goes to get bread from a friend because he doesn't have any. And the friend doesn't give him any bread because he's his friend. He gives him the bread because of his boldness. That he would come to him at midnight and ask for help. Okay, I'll give it to you if for no other reason so I can go back to sleep. And what Jesus is whispering is, come boldly to the Father who loves you. And he is not going to just dismiss, like, all right, I'll give you a little breadcrumb to send you on your way because I have to sleep. No, he's always awake, and he's always active, and he's always loving us and working on our behalf. And so we can boldly seek him. If we don't see, you know, as 1 Peter put it, you, even though you don't see him, he sees you, and he sees your future and eternity. And even though we don't see him, we believe in him, and we rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Because he has our eternity in mind. He has that salvation for our souls. And so we don't ever have to let go of God's Spirit. We come boldly seeking what our Heavenly Father offers. Peace and love and strength and an assurance of a forever home. Stories told of a missionary who, after decades out on the mission field, was traveling back on an ocean liner like they did back in those days and was about to head into retirement. This missionary happened to be on the same ocean liner where Teddy Roosevelt was. Oh, Teddy Roosevelt, you know, former president, big game hunter over in Africa, regaling the crowds on the cruise ship with all of his tales of wonder and adventure and you know, war and whatever it is that he would tell them. And the crowds, of course, were waiting on the dock for him with the band playing, you know, Welcome Home and Hail to the Chief and all those things. And the missionary got a little downhearted. He got a little downhearted and he's sitting at the railing there and his wife goes, "What's wrong?" "Well, all these years I've served the Lord. All these years I've shared. Nobody wanted to hear any of my tales. They wanted to listen to, you know, Teddy Roosevelt. Nobody's, you know, there's a band waiting and crowds cheering, waving flags to welcome him home. There's nobody waiting to welcome us home. What was it all for?" And his wife said, "You know, before we dock, take a minute to go and pray and ask God that question." When the missionary came back, his face was smiling and full of peace. She said, "What did he say to you?" He said, "You know, well, the crowds are here to welcome Teddy home. But God said to me, you're not home yet." He was done with his career. He was retiring. But he was not home yet, and neither are you and I. He is not home yet, and neither are you and I. And so we can come with boldness. We can come with hope. We can come with assurance that the Jesus who is willing to go to heaven, go through hell and return to heaven for us, is going to come back and bring us to that forever home. We can be sure that this world, with all of its troubles and limitations, that God will help us navigate. This world isn't the end. And there is something even greater to come. We're not home yet. And I want to throw in just a little song here with Doug's permission. I want to ask if you'll join me. You don't have to stand up or anything, but take a look at the lyrics on the screen. Let's sing the little verse of this song that maybe you remember about us being reminded that we're not home yet. Stranger here, heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear, heaven is my home. Danger around me stand, trial beyond every hand. Heaven is my home.
my fatherland, heaven is my home.
And may our Father in heaven remind you that that homecoming will be sweet, and until then, He with His higher perspective and power and love will guide us always. Amen.